What's going on, guys? I'm back here with you. It's your guy, Larry Hall, Real Talk Sports Talks. And some of the topics I'm going to talk about today is Super Bowl. You know, it's post-Super Bowl day, so that's definitely a major topic. Derek Fisher got fired. LeBron James' first triple-double of the season. Super Bowl picks for next year. NFL draft standouts. And a couple other things. So we're going to start with the Super Bowl. So prior to the Super Bowl, Cam Newton really was kind of arrogant, you know. I mean, it worked for him. He got there. They were 15-1. Had a great regular season record. Dominated in the NFC Championship game in the divisional round. So everyone just assumed they would do the same. But me personally, I picked the Broncos to win because I knew that the defensive line was going to bother Cam enough to the point where he would be uncomfortable. And at the same time, I felt like the offense would do enough. The offense didn't do as much as I thought they would, but they did enough to win, obviously. Von Miller was hands down the MVP. I mean, it wasn't even close or up for debate. Von Miller single-handedly dominated both sides of the defensive line when he switched with DeMarcus Ware. And you got to give a lot of credit to Wade Phillips, man. He really dominated the coaching staff of the Carolina Panthers, if that makes any sense. He outthought them in every aspect of the game. He planned it out. He watched a lot of film. He really had Cam Newton stumbling over his own thoughts. He didn't even know what to do. If he stepped out of the pocket, he was getting pressured. I mean, he was sending linebackers up in his face. And I want to give a lot of credit to Denver Broncos secondary. They were basically able to blitz 3 and 4 and sometimes even 5 people. Because the secondary was holding up. I mean, Akeem Talib did an outstanding job. A couple terrible penalties. Terrible. But for the most part, he did an outstanding job across the board. I mean, it was even at times he was lined up with man against Greg Olsen, who was much larger than he was. And they held up across the board. Chris Harris Jr., Bradley Roby, TJ Ward, even DeMarcus Ware got his hands in on a couple of sacks and tackles. And Von Miller just brought him home with a strip sack that led to the fumble recovery touchdown and another strip sack that led to a field goal. Denver's offense was struggling. Peyton Manning had one of the worst games of his career. I mean, Denver didn't even have 200 yards of offense. Peyton Manning led them. They were 1-13, I believe, on third downs. I mean, Carolina defense did their job. Everyone showed up to play. Jonathan Stewart only touched the ball 12 times. Maybe some say he should have got the ball a little more. He got a little banged up in the first half. But for the most part, I mean, it was a defensive game. Denver's defense just so happened to produce a little more points and put the offense in better positions than Carolina's did. But you got to take your hats off to both teams, man. Cam Newton, I think he took it a little too lightly. He didn't respect the league. He didn't respect the NFL and how hard of a grind it was. Sometimes early success in your career can be detrimental to your attitude because nothing is expected or given in the league. Everything has to be worked for. And he acted like it was just so light. He took it lightly. The fact that it was the Super Bowl, the fact that his team was 15-1. I mean, he just like shrugged it off. And you know, that you just got to take the league more serious than that. But on another note, next year's Super Bowl picks. So Vegas odds say that the Steelers, the Patriots, and the Seahawks have the best chances of going to the Super Bowl. But I'm going to disagree. I'm going to go out on a limb here and say the Bengals are going to get healthy, get A.J. McCarron back. They're going to pick up where they left off at. And the Cardinals, man, I'm gonna say when the Cardinals get healthy, when you know when they get Tyrann Mathieu back, Larry Fitzgerald will be on his last ride because it's starting to be the trend for NFL Super Bowl winners. Last ride. Who's on their last ride? Ray Lewis got one on his way out. Peyton, I'm not sure if he's on his way out or not. He's certainly leaning that way, but he got his last one. And I feel like Larry Fitzgerald has to get one, man. You know, he has to get another one. So I feel like he's going to get one on his way out. Them and the Bengals. And I think the Cardinals will probably have to go through Carolina. Even though Carolina basically destroyed them this year, you would be surprised how much difference one or two players can really make for a team. And the NFL draft. You know, I'm a Dallas Cowboys fan. And we could take a quarterback at that 4th spot and cause a little controversy. But if Tony Romo comes back healthy, we should have no problem winning the division. I think not. I mean, we got to get Greg Hardy re-signed and keep the defensive line happy, because obviously you see as the Super Bowl went, that's everything. You know, Romo comes back, that kind of solves the offensive problems if he can stay healthy. Because he runs that offense better than anyone does. So, I mean, you just got to play it by ear when it comes to health, because you really don't know. NFL, Johnny Manziel assault. So apparently he hit his girlfriend, and the story's finally coming out, because he fired his agent, basically resigned. He said he wasn't going to be his agent anymore. The Browns have already parted ways with him 2 months before they could, on the salary cap and on the roster at least. And everyone's just like leaving him high and dry. And the story's coming out why now. At first it looked like we didn't know why. Now the story is coming out. He assaulted his girlfriend. His girlfriend's eardrum actually was busted. And yeah, so now she's basically has a problem with this whole situation. And it's coming out. It's coming out in the light. Like, Johnny Manziel, get it together, guy. Talented football player. Terrible work ethic. Terrible approach for the game and life itself. Get it together, Johnny Manziel. Get it together, guy, before it's too late. You know what I mean? And someone reach out to him. Get this guy a hand, man. Someone needs to definitely get this guy a hand. Let's see. We got Marshawn Lynch and Calvin Johnson retiring. The Calvin Johnson one caught me. Both of them were in their prime. Don't get me wrong. Not far from their prime, at least. The Calvin Johnson one caught me a little off guard. Marshawn Lynch is 29 years old. He'll be 30 this year. So that one, I mean, he's a running back. He's banged up. Thomas Rawls had a breakout year. You know, he had some contract negotiation problems. That's not really that surprising to me. But the whole Calvin Johnson one definitely caught me off guard. I mean, you're talking about a 3-year span of a statistical standing that a receiver never had in the NFL. A receiver never had as much success as Calvin Johnson had in a 3-year span. I mean, as far as touchdowns, yards, catches, win shares, usage percentage. I mean, Calvin Johnson was a workhorse, man, and he just made it look so easy. I mean, you can't get a nickname like Megatron without earning it, man. I mean, that guy earned every penny of his salary, even though that salary cap number's a little high. Teams are a little more skeptical because, let's just say, his team hasn't won enough playoff games, or, you know, he's older. That's bull crap. Calvin Johnson is worth every penny that he makes and is gonna make in the NFL. And maybe he's faking retiring so he can... I don't know. Maybe he's faking retirement so he can, you know, get out of that contract and go somewhere else to a winning team. Because no one wants to take on that contract right now. Or even if they can, it won't be a team that will be able to contend for an NFL championship or Super Bowl, if that makes any sense. So, yeah, that'll be interesting to see. I think Marshawn Lynch is really done. He has a lot of apparel lines and, you know, the beast mode, the hats, the shirts, the rap label. I mean, he has a lot going on right now. So I think Marshawn Lynch is cool. So I think he'll be all right. In other news, we're going to switch over to the NBA. I mean, what a day it's been for the NBA. You know, LeBron James, first triple-double of the season. Good sign, maybe. You know, the Cavs really have been getting it together under Tyronn Lue. They lost a couple of games to the Celtics with a game-winning shot. They shot very bad in that game, and yet they had it until the end. Avery Bradley hit a great shot. Take my hats off to him. But other than that, they haven't lost too much with Tyronn Lue. I believe they're 10-3. I mean, that's a pretty good record, man. And they lost two games on a back to back, which was kind of surprising. But they've been getting it together. I like the up-tempo. People say it's up-tempo, but they're actually scoring less points per game per 100 possessions. The tempo's actually slowed down slightly. But I think people say up-tempo because during that time period, more people are touching the ball, so which will give the illusion that you're doing more. And I guess you are if you want to look at it like that. But I just like what Tyronn Lue is doing. I'm more of a... I would want to play for a coach that was a player or that at least understood the game. And David Black, take your hat off to him. Great European coach. But the Cavs hired him to do something different. They hired him to rebuild a team. Then they inherited Kevin Love. They inherited LeBron James, J.R. Smith, Iman Shumpert. Tristan Thompson had a breakout year. They get Miles Goff before the trade deadline. You know what I mean? So he had to do a lot more than what he was expecting to do. He was expecting to come in with Deion Waiters, Andrew Wiggins, Kyrie Irving, a bunch of young guys, maybe make the playoffs as an eighth seed. Then he inherits a team that's has no choice but to go to the NBA Finals with no Kyrie Irving or Kevin Love. You know what I mean? So that whole situation changed on him. And I didn't know who they were going to hire. I mean, they could have boosted Tyronn Lue up. There was a couple other names out there. You know, Tom Thibodeau, Mark Jackson, maybe that could have been in there. I thought Tom Thibodeau or Mark Jackson would have been great. Preferably Thibodeau because he's a defensive guru. And he slows games down. And when you're playing a team like the Warriors in the NBA Finals, you're going to need to slow the game down. Or when you're playing a team like the Spurs that already, you know, slows the game down, you're going to want to be able to match that. I see running across the bottom of my app right now that the Kings are firing George Karl. So that makes two coaches today that got fired, George Karl and Derek Fisher. George Karl and Derek Fisher, two completely different coaches. Derek Fisher, pretty decent player in his career. He got hired because of Phil Jackson. No prior coaching experience. Just had retired from the league. Very, very solid but mediocre career. George Karl, on the other hand, playoffs 10 straight years with the Nuggets. Coach of the year. All-star game coach. Olympic assistant. I mean, he got a raw deal in Denver. Then they fired him, and now the Kings hired him. But because apparently he can't get along with Boogie Cousins, or, you know, you can't win 40, 50 games in the West because everyone's so good, you get fired. I mean, NBA teams just don't have patience anymore. They don't have patience with their guys. They don't have patience with their players, their coaches, the executives. I mean, it's really disturbing, honestly. That they don't give guys chances anymore. I think they deserve that. And, yeah, so those two coaches got fired today. Derek Fisher, he had a terrible record, under a 35% winning percentage, which is extremely bad. I mean, he couldn't have done any worse with that team that he had. And Luke Walton might be the new Knicks coach. He's headlined. Kurt Rambis is the interim coach for the time being, but I'm not sure if that's their guy. I think Luke Walton is going to have a serious hand in that bowl for that coaching job. And that's a great coaching job to have because you got, you know, Carmelo Anthony still doing his thing. You know, you got cap space. You're probably going to get a good draft pick. You know, Porzingis panned out to be everything and more. I'm sure Phil Jackson had his hand in on drafting him because he turned out to be everything and more that they could have ever even expected him to be. And I believe Phil Jackson knew that before. That's why he picked him. So I'm going to say that Porzingis might even win Rookie of the Year if the Knicks do or don't make the playoffs. And if he don't have the best stat, does not have the best stats. And that's just because he's really balling, man. He's evolutionizing that rookie position. You know what I mean? He's doing it all for his team without being the main guy. And that's the whole thing. He's not the main guy. You look at a Jahlil Okafor. Yeah, he averaged 18 points and 8 rebounds a game. 9 rebounds a game. But he's the main guy on one of the worst teams in NBA history. In all of basketball history. You look at Porzingis. He's the second, third option on a team that's one player away from being a 4th or 5th seed in the East. That's a big difference than a team that you're the number one usage guy. You're the number one touch guy. You know what I mean? You're the face of the franchise, and your franchise is terrible. You know, the Knicks have an all-star starter on their team. How many touches can he get with a guy that just led the NBA in scoring 3 years ago? And I'm going to wrap it up on this. They say KD might be headed to the Warriors in the offseason. I'm not sure how true that is or not, but let's just say this right here. That'd be unfair for basketball. Why would a guy... Where's the competitive drive? You know what I mean? Why would you want to go join a team that got an MVP, reigning MVP, reigning championship, who's probably going to get an MVP and or, if not both, championship this season? Why would you want to go join a guy that's already has his legacy on a team, took a team to lands they've never went? Why would you want to do that with your team? Or if you want to leave, go to the Wizards or the Knicks. Do it to a team that's nothing. You know, make them bring their level to play up. Because he just needs to be better. He needs to be better, and he needs to make better decisions. If you don't like it, take your team to the promised land. Take the Thunder to the promised land. Take the Wizards to the promised land. Take the Knicks to the promised land. Because he's going to, with the salary cap increasing so much, he's going to be able to get his money anywhere. He's unrestricted. He can walk and go anywhere. So it's just all on him to make the right decision. All right, man. I want to thank you guys. It's my 15 minutes. I want to thank you guys for listening to my podcast. You know, my name is Larry Hall. I'm from Durham, North Carolina. Student at Towson University. Yeah, give me a follow on Instagram and Snapchat or Twitter at LSmooth8. That's LSMOOTH in the number 8. That's it. Thank you.